to Genesis Studies. This is Genesis Study number 15. And I want to start right off by mentioning my hat. We can't offer these for sale. I got this really cheap, but right now they're like 20 bucks to make these. And the big ministries can make 10,000, so they get them really cheap, and then they sell them for 20 bucks. And we don't want to do that. We would only offer them at cost, but right now at cost they're $20+. Anybody can go out to lids.com or any of those places and find you a hat that'll fit, and you can have them embroider anything you want on there. And if you want bbfohio.com, that's all I did. I had a hat on clearance, and I paid 10 bucks to have that put on there. We just want to let people know about the website, because they can go there and hear the gospel and learn the Word of God, and it's all free of charge. All they have to do is get on the internet. So we want to send out a hillbilly holler this time to Sister Jill. I'm not going to use her last name, and I don't always use people's last names. But she helped us out. She found a little typo in the credits. So if you go back to the previous 14 messages, you look at the credits, you'll see there's a typo in there. And I'm not even going to tell you what it is. But she found it. She helped us out. We appreciate that, Jill. And Jill's been very encouraging to us for many months. And we just appreciate her. And as we get into the Word, we always want to remind you that we're into an infallible book called the King James Bible. If you have a new version, please get a King James Bible. And if you want to know why, well, one of the reasons is because there's something wrong when the Roman Catholic Church wants to replace your Bible. And then Christians are so spiritually dead and destitute and lacking discernment that they go right along with it. This book, The Word, God Will Keep It, by Joey Faust. Great quote here from a guy named Ernst von Dobschütz. I love that. My name's Greg Miller. I've always kind of felt like that was plain. We had people like Lewandowski and Krasinski and people like that. I always kind of envied them with their names. They had to spell their names to people. Isn't that not... I mean, sometimes that might be a pain. But anyway, it's Smith, Miller, Jones. All you people know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Ernst von Dobschütz, in his book, The Influence of the Bible on Civilization, 1914, just a couple of decades after Westcott and Hort did their damage, he says, quote, "Wherever the so-called Counter-Reformation, started by the Jesuits, gained hold of the people, the vernacular was suppressed and the Bible kept from the laity." Now, I'm going to stop there for just a second. You need to learn about the Counter-Reformation. You need to learn about the Jesuits. You're going to learn, if you listen along with us, we're in Revelation 17 in our Revelation studies. And at any time you go there and on through Revelation 18, we're going to be talking more about the Jesuits. And he continues and says, "So eager were the Jesuits to destroy the authority of the Bible, the paper pope of the Protestants, as it's called, as they contemptuously called it, that they even did not refrain from criticizing its genuineness and historical value," end quote. And you're going to find that you talk to these guys who try to undermine the King James Bible long enough, they'll get to the point eventually that they don't believe any Bible is the Word of God. They are their own authority. This is a fight by the devil using people like the Jesuits to destroy the faith of God's people in the book that God gave us. And so just wanted to share that with you, because we want to remind you, a few folks have gotten hold of us, and it reminds us not everybody's familiar with everything we've ever done. And one of our signature documentaries is called New Versions, Our Vatican Versions. And we don't sell things, but we've given some of these documentaries out, and you can watch it for free on YouTube. Go to our channel, New Versions, Our Vatican Versions. If for some reason you wanted a copy, we just ask that you cover the cost, and they're about $10 after we make the whole thing and mail it to you, buy the shipping materials, the postage, and everything. You can get a copy if you want. Contact us. We're not a big ministry. We're a small ministry. A lot of people don't realize that. We're just a small church, Bible Believers Fellowship here in Worthington, Ohio. And we may have to, you know, we may choose to move if the Lord leads us to one of the surrounding areas, but we rent a building right now. I know some of you, you know, oh, a building! But we do meet in a building because we outgrew our house, and we don't have a mansion, so, you know, it didn't take much to outgrow that. So, anyway, we do what we can. We don't have a store. We don't have a bunch of employees or anything like that. But you can watch that, and you can send the link to family and friends. New versions or Vatican versions, and you'll see why the Roman Catholic Church has, and how the Roman Catholic Church has tried to undermine and replace this King James Bible. So let's get into the Word here in Genesis chapter 5 with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for another opportunity. I thank you for the hundreds that have already seen these studies and will continue with us through our study of the book of Genesis. Such an important book. Can't understand the rest of the book if you don't understand Genesis. And I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to teach those who hunger for your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 5. We're going to get about halfway through the chapter because it's a lot of genealogy. Now, don't skip genealogies. Genealogies are important. But we've come up to the point where human history is kind of on a roll. Got started real good, you know, with the fall and then the first murder. And Cain, someone sent me this joke. I hope it doesn't, you know, there's nothing wrong with smiling and having a good time laughing. And sometimes jokes can help you recall things. But the joke was Cain found Abel out in the fields and said, "Hey, Cain, come here, I got to talk to you. I need to ask you something." And then he literally did. Ba-dum-ts. Anyway, you know, Bible humor is kind of light humor anyway. You've heard of the, you know, the Bible has baseball in it in the beginning. Okay, we'll move on. Let's go ahead and read verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Chapter 5 is going to be an overview of the generations from Adam to Noah. And by the way, there's no indication of any pre-Adamites, as we talked about earlier. By the way, I'm drinking a Crimson Cup coffee. I just love that stuff. I love Starbucks, but they're a bunch of wicked people. So we stopped drinking Starbucks a few years ago. And so far, Crimson Cup doesn't seem to fund abortion and boycott Israel. So, cheers. And it keeps me from choking and hacking. So I appreciate a good cup of coffee. But anyway, back in verse 1. Man was created in God's image originally. But after the fall, we are begotten, we are brought forth, conceived in sin, and we come forth as fallen, depraved, sinful creatures because we are in the image of our sinful, depraved fathers. They're wonderful. Fathers are wonderful. Don't get me wrong, but they're not infallible. They are fallen, they are depraved, and they pass that on to us. And that's why you hear people always saying, "Oh, we're all the children of God." No, we're not. Every human being is born in sin, and once they become conscious of their need of salvation, they become responsible, and they can be saved and put on the image of Christ, but never perfectly until we're glorified and go up in the rapture. And we'll say more about this when we come to verse 3. Let's go ahead and read verse 2. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Remember when we pointed this out, that God did not call Eve by her name Eve, given to her by Adam. He called them, called their name, Adam. Now that's a surname. And feminists with the Antichrist spirit either hyphenate their name or totally reject the name of their husband. Which is ridiculous because they still got a man's name. Their maiden name, as it's called, is their dad's name, not their mother's. She had a maiden name that was different and so forth. But in an attempt to defy God, the feminist movement comes along and hyphenates, or a lot of them just don't even take their husband's name at all. And for this reason, this is one of the several reasons, Bible believers and Bible-believing Baptists are accused of being woman haters. I had somebody again today drop that. It's a stupid charge. Listen, folks, if it wasn't for Bible-believing Baptists, you women would be slaves. Go around the world and look and see how it is. Even in places like Europe, which used to be Christian, is now apostate. What's happening since Christianity's dying out in that world? Slavery, sex slavery, prostitution through the roof. And you go over to any Islamic country, the women, they have to cover up. The only thing you can see is their eyeballs. They're treated like animals and cattle. Go over to India and the Hindu areas. People tell you they love the little girls, but then once they reach a certain age, menstruation and adulthood, women are just treated like second class. And that's not even talking about the caste. I think it's called caste system or caste system, C-A-S-T-E. Those women are treated worse than animals in some cases. So, and I know I'm going to have people, everybody's always correcting me on that. No, I've talked to them. I've studied this. I've actually talked to people who come from those areas. I know what I'm talking about on this subject of women. And the women in America are benefiting from Bible-believing Baptists who got you rights, and then you took an inch and have now gone a mile, and that's why so many women are turning into sodomites and lesbians, and so many women are apostate. So many, these TBN charismatic nuts, they can thank women for most of the funding they get, and the homos who fund their ministries, because they don't preach against sin, and they don't ever tell a woman she's wrong. And that's why people who are Bible-believing preachers are referred to as woman haters. Why? Because we dare tell women that when you contradict this book, you're wrong. I can tell most men that, and they're just like, well, I guess that's just par for the course. I've been wrong a lot in my life. It's weird. But what do you tell some of these women? You tell them they're wrong, man. That's fighting words. And so a lot of them, even within Christianity, you want to get married, a lot of women are refusing to abide by the traditional vow. If you want to do a vow, it's, you know, there's nothing biblical that requires that, actually. But you get married, you come together as one flesh, you're committed for life, it's understood. But if you're going to do a vow, and then they won't say to love and obey their husbands. A lot of these professing Christians won't say that anymore. And then when they get married, they won't take their husband's last name, or they'll hyphenate. So, what do we do? Well, you just keep preaching the truth. You keep telling, you try to raise your girls to understand what's right and wrong, and tell them how wicked this feminist movement is. And if they don't listen, they don't listen. And all you can do is teach and preach and pray. We don't force anybody to do anything. So, we come now to verse 3. It says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. See that? After his image, and called his name Seth. From this point on, we're not all the children of God. We're children of wickedness and wrath. And that's why Jesus taught you must be born again. You need to put on the image of God. And from this point on, we're seeing God's plan to restore us to God's image. You see, we're not in the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. Look over at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Now, I want to say this again. I always have to throw this in there. They're not all women. I'm not talking about all women when I say these things. It's funny. When I say anything bad about a woman, a lot of times these women, well, men are this and that. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to argue that. But when I talk about men, I'm preaching, teaching, I rarely have a man come up afterwards and say, well, you should have said this about women, because, yeah, men have their problem. I never get that. Strange thing. But some women are teachable. And I very recently had a woman trying to tell me that I was wrong on this issue when she heard me in another study. I think we were still in Mark. It's been actually a few months ago. But she said, you know, I don't believe what you said. I believe we all are created in the image of God and all this. So I showed her what I'm about to show you. I showed her what we were seeing in Genesis 5, and I showed her this. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 15 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." That word translated will come up again when we talk about Enoch in our next study. Verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Verse 15, "Who is the image of the invisible God?" Who? Jesus. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That's Jesus. He is the image of God. You aren't. What you got to do is put on that image. That's why over in Romans 8, verse 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Look at it again. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. God never predestinated certain people to be saved and certain people to be damned, as Calvinism teaches. God predestinated that those who would believe on Jesus and be saved, they would be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what it says. And that tells you you're not born in the image of God. You still got to put that image on, and that image is in Jesus Christ. So we continue in verse 4. "And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and begat sons and daughters." Continue verse 5. "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." Adam lived for 930 years. Now, those of you who are new to the Bible, you're reading that and you're saying, "What? I mean, you know, very few people hit 90 these days. That's 10 times longer. It's like 10 lifetimes or better." Yeah, because they'd just come out of the perfect situation, circumstance of the garden. But he was told, "Adam, you eat of that tree, you'll die." He did. Some small-minded people would say, "Well, I don't believe the Bible's accurate. He told Adam he would die, and when he ate the tree, he still lived to the age of 930. He died. God never said he would drop dead the moment he. He never said Adam would drop dead the moment he ate of that fruit. He said to a man, Adam, who was going to live for eternity, he said, "If you eat of that apple, you won't live for eternity. You will die." Adam died 930 years. And by the way, very interesting to look at this stuff charted out. Our brother Mike Kaler has a chart, and I don't think he's got it on his website yet. 2 Timothy 2:15.org. I'm hoping he gets this. He's been working on it, maybe tweaking it. But if you find a good chart, you'll see that Adam lived up to 930, and Noah was born about 1050 or so. So close. Look how close, if you look at that chart, how close Adam and Noah come to crossing each other in their lifetimes. And it's we'll come back to that and try to get that chart maybe on our website if Brother Mike feels like he's done with it. There are other charts out there, but they're copyrighted, and we don't steal stuff, so that's why it's not on our website. So we continue in verse 6, "And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters." Verse 8, "And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died." Now, if you, again, chart this out, Seth lived 912 years and his lifetime would have come right up close to the time of Noah. He may not have even been old enough to remember Noah, but there's a possibility that Noah may have held Seth Seth may have held Noah on his knee. Now, I know that's stretching. There's no biblical basis for that comment. This is a little Gregology. But hey, if they passed, crossed, and Seth is an old man and Noah was born, and I think we're going to find some interesting things out when we get to heaven and have some of these questions answered for us. So we continue in verse 9. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos, verse 10, and Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. Verse 11, and all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. Now, 905 years, anyone who lived less than 900 years basically died as a youngster. And you think about it, this is the way it's going to be in the millennium. Our home, we're going to be raptured. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to celebrate the marriage supper. We're going to return on white horses with Jesus Christ as he sets up his kingdom. We will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. That'll be the first 1,000+ years of our lives with Jesus throughout eternity. But on the earth, there will still be mortals. Let's look at that. Isaiah 65 is where that's at. You can learn a whole lot about our future in Isaiah 65 and 66. Just like Revelation 19 through 22. And Isaiah 65, verse 20 says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. In other words, death is unheard of in the millennium. But it says, for the child shall die 100 years old. What's that mean? That means if a child dies, or if a person dies and he's 100 years old or, you know, anywhere like that, that's like, oh, he's a child. He still had, if he's born at the beginning of the millennium, he still had 900 years to go. Goes on and says, but the sinner being 100 years shall be accursed. Meaning, death will come, but it'll be chosen. Like now, you live and there's a time that you're appointed to die and then the judgment. But, you pretty much just, you sin, people get away with sin for a long time sometimes. And that's up to God. That's His call. But in the millennium, it's not going to be like that. You sin, it'll be a big sin. There's no, it's hard to explain. We don't have time to go into in detail. But you're not going to be living in a world with all the temptations. The millennium will be a kingdom of Jesus Christ. He will rule with a rod of iron. You won't have cable TV with porn. And I mean, on the regular channels, it's soft porn and all the abuse of God's name with blasphemy and all the billboards and all that trash. People walking around with t-shirts or bumper stickers with filth on them and the words coming out of people's mouths and the temptations and the drug running and all the, you know, booze and people getting together for drunken parties. Not going to happen in the millennium. So it's going to be difficult to sin. And when you do sin, it'll be rebellion. Outright. Not just like today. People say, oh, I just wasn't thinking. No, not in the millennium. And so the point is that people are going to live just like they did before the flood. That's the way they'll live after or during the millennium. And we'll talk more about that as we go through the Bible, obviously. But let's pick up in verse 12 now. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalaleel. There's a name for you, if any of you are getting ready to have little boys. Mahalaleel. Verse 13. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalaleel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. Imagine you could have a pretty good family in that amount of time. Verse 14. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. So he lived 910 years and he died. And by the way, this Canaan here is no way connected to the Canaanites. That's after the flood, the descendants of Ham through Canaan. And name familiarity is essential for Bible study. One of the most difficult things people have is they'll see a name here and a name there, and they'll either be similar or the same. They're like, wait, is that the same person? Where am I? I get confused. So it's very important to try to learn these names. And folks, it's not that hard. And I'm talking to myself as much as anybody that for a long time I didn't really put forth the effort to learn names. I know preachers still who like that Mahalaleel, they won't even try to pronounce that. They'll just say, Ed, and this guy we'll call him Mehi or what. You know, they think it's funny, and I guess it can be, but we need to learn these names so that we can be familiar with what we're reading. And we need to go through the genealogies carefully and read those names and become familiar with them. And Mahalalel lived 895 years. He didn't even make it to 900. So young. Taken too young. So early. Yeah, that was a joke. But the next man we come to is Jared. Verse 18. Verse 18 says, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch." So here's our first diamond jeweler. That's where commercials say you take a woman when you want to ask her to marry you, get her a diamond ring. So anyway, Enoch now enters, and this is a very important name, Enoch. Very important man. I can't wait to meet Enoch. Verse 19 says, "And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters." Verse 20, "And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died." So he lived to a nice ripe old age of 962 years. But we're now introduced to Enoch. And we'll close out our story or our study talking about him for a couple minutes. But we're going to come back and start with him in the next one because there's a lot to be said about Enoch. Verse 21, it says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." And we'll have more to say about Methuselah in the next study. Verse 22, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." That's a beautiful phrase, walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And that means that it was rare at this time. If everybody was walking with God, this wouldn't have been mentioned. It's obvious that the mention made here of Enoch walking with God is because there was great apostasy. You see, how do you prove that? Well, at his lifetime and his son's lifetime leads up to the destruction of everyone except for Noah and his family that we'll see shortly in our studies. But I want to throw this in there as we close. Don't pay attention to the New Age nonsense about Enoch. They have so muddled and messed up his biblical legacy. And you got this book called the Book of Enoch, and people are out there trying to convince you it should have been in the canon and the Catholic Church. Or sometimes they'll just say the Church kept the Book of Enoch out. The Book of Enoch does not belong in the Bible, and we can talk more about that. I mentioned that in other studies, but it was written by several people pretending to be Enoch. The Bible does not have pseudo authors. When it says Paul wrote it, Paul wrote it. When it says Matthew wrote it, Matthew wrote it. When it says that David wrote something, David wrote it. And so if you choose to follow that instead of the infallible Word of God, you're going to go into a ditch. And a lot of people I've seen over the years get into the Book of Enoch and go in over their heads and drown. Just avoid that. And Hollywood as well. The Noah movie, ridiculous. When Hollywood makes a Bible movie, their theme should be, "May the farce be with you." And so we'll come back, we're going to look. Enoch only lived 365 years, according to verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Why? Well, we'll leave right there on a cliffhanger. Most of you know what happened, but many seem not to take a serious look at the implications for us. And so tune in next time. We'll come back and pick up with Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24.